Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right, the Bible doesn't condemn gays. In case you're wondering where I am, this place is called, Kimping. It's at the southernmost part of Taiwan. You probably can't see it, but above this rock over here, where that rock, there's a lighthouse. And that lighthouse is actually the southern tip of Taiwan, down here on vacation. So that's why we do a few programs here. Tomorrow I'm going to go over to the national park, Kimping National Park, which loops around the point there and up the east side of the island. I'm over here sort of still on the west side, almost at the very south tip, and then we're going to drive around the national park up there, take a few hours, and then come back down here. Got a pretty nice hotel here. I'm on their deck, their restaurant deck, the floor opens here, to do a little program. Like I was saying, gay is not sin. And things are going to happen when you just arbitrarily just condemn people. I know a lot of you don't condemn people. You don't believe you do. You think that you're doing something good, You like this phrase, love the sinner, but not the sin. It's almost like you really think that you can do those two things, but you can't. Because things that you think are sin, that hatred you have for that sin that you think is a sin, draws over into your behavior. So no matter what word you say that says you love somebody, like you love the sinner, your behavior is affected by your hate the sin type of thing. And so this way, that you, no matter how much your mouth speaks your love, hate manifests. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means when you come into a lowly sinner because you judged him to be in sin, and you judged yourself as loving this person, so it's all of a sudden God's duty for you to tell the person he's in sin. All you can behave to that person is a behavior that is recognizable as hate. You see, love has a certain kind of characteristics, and hate has certain kind of characteristics. So you can figure out what behavior you might be doing, or at least what behavior is seen, because you think you're holier than thou, meaning that you think that you are justly warning of a sin, and the person needs to repent, and you think this is loving that person. Well, that person hears you pointing a finger at him, and there's no way out. As much as your mouth proclaims there is a way out, you give no way out to that sinner. Case in example, because of my TV program here, Gays for Jesus, I talk a lot about gays in the Bible. I also talk about the last days. And they're sort of intermingled here, because so much of the both are happening in God's will at this time. Now, so your mouth wants to say, hate the sin. So you say gay is sin, so then you tell gay people that God hates it. Isn't that interesting? You don't know any more to go, because in your mind, you think that gay is sin. You think the Bible says gay is sin, and so what do? You say gay is sin. But you notice in all of this talking of me trying to tell you what you are saying about gays, it just comes a repeated phrase. You say gay is sin. The Bible says so. God hates it. I mean, this is the depth of what you do. The next step that you take is you will quote a verse. Sometimes you'll quote it. Most of the time, you would just say, read Romans 1, 26, chapter 1, 26 to 27. That's about the best that we can get out of a person that thinks gay is sin. Sometimes you will actually quote or read that verse. And it, as you're reading it, you get all the more convinced of the hideousness of being gay. because you're reading this vile type of stuff. And in your mind, you're beginning to picture that, boy, God hates gays so much, he's calling them vile and all that kind of stuff. You are applying words not correctly. Because, you know, these terms of these vile passions and doing what, when you read that verse and how you get excited about it, because it makes you even more upset towards the gay people. It makes you think it is all the simpler that it's condemning gays. But you're forgetting there are 630 million gays. You know what gays think? They think that they're walking around, just like straights do, you know, they're walking around, they get the right age and everything, and they want to be with somebody. But what do you straights do? Well, you're walking around, and your body starts saying you need to be with somebody. And you don't make any choices or anything. You just simply go to find out where you can walk around so you can meet the opposite sex. You like to call this dating. You like to say that the purpose of it is to get to know somebody, and then if it's the right person, marry them someday. Now, if you understand how it is to be heterosexual, why can't you understand how it is to be homosexual? Because it's the same type of deal. You know, gay person gets to that age, you know. Just like straight people, you get there 9, 10, 11 years old, and you're starting to get to this age, and you want somebody else with you. Now, it doesn't matter if you're straight or gay. It just works out. It's just no matter how much you interview these people, you find out that they're either absolutely body gone walkers over the opposite sex, or their body's gone walkers over the same sex. And it all happens about the same time. Sometimes when you're that young, like in my day, you know, back in the early 50s and so, or the mid-50s, you didn't have any idea about what gays were or anything. All you know is that there's something different about you, and you don't understand what's the deal with the opposite sex. You're seeing your friends growing up, and they starting to get this big old anxiety about the opposite sex, and you're sitting there not knowing anything. Well, today's a little bit different. There's a little bit more information out, so when people grow up and get to this age, they kind of know right away that this kind of behavior is gay. And they, like you, heterosexual, begin to go out to date. You do it a little bit different when you're in school because you can't do anything about much of what your feelings except on the sly. But once you graduate, then you can, all of a sudden you have a new world, you know. You got your own place and you can do what you want. And what do? You're still doing that. You're going after looking for someone to be with, hopefully, for the rest of your life. You want to give love and you want to get love and you want all that physical stuff too. And this part is the simple part, because this is the part that you can understand yourself, and you ought to be able to understand gay people, because all you have to do is look at yourself and your desires. You want to meet somebody and be with them, fall in love, and get married. Once you figure that part out, and then, you know, all your physical desires and everything, then you know who gay people are, because that's what they're doing. So then when it comes to the Bible, you now have this concept of who the gay person is, you know, boy meets boy, they date, they fall in love, and they get married. Just like heterosexuals. You know now, no you don't, because you just can't hear a word I'm saying. You still got your picture that the Bible is saying this kind of vile passion type of thing, doing what is unseemly and all that, and plural men with plural men, and so forth, but doing that which is unnatural, your mind is just pulsating with the simplicity that it is talking about gay behavior. And no matter how much I try to describe to you that gay behavior is like straight behavior, you want to meet somebody and be with them the rest of your life. You don't want to go put another notch in your gun. Of course, you know, everybody does this dating stuff, you know. And heterosexuals, you want to talk about who's dating the most kinds of people and everything. It's going to be heterosexual. You want to see the most sexual immorality that exists anywhere. It's in heterosexuality. Gays can never catch up with heterosexuals in sexual immorality. You know that. But for some reason, when it comes to gays, you just don't want to think anything other than by reading it saying that it's vile passion. It's lust type of stuff. With men, plural, men, plural. You don't care to do any kind of research or studying about the verse. For you, that is absolutely meaning gay people. It doesn't matter that the chapter and the story starts in verse 18, and the Bible is getting into extraordinarily detailed. He talked about simplicity. You don't have to do any guesswork because the Bible explained it for you. It is talking about straight adults that turned from God to gods. And then what did God do? Because they turned from Him, He gave them over. He let them do the things of their heart. And what are the things of their heart? Well, they turned to other gods. What gods? Fertility temples. You know, there's other books available, historical records, and it is absolutely known that Paul, you know, I'm a tourist down here in Taiwan. You see the coast over here in Kinching. Paul turned a temple in Corinth. And you know what this temple had? It's a famous temple. And in that temple was 1,000 temple prostitutes in all kinds of orgy rooms. And you know another interesting thing it had? Remember back in the later books that Paul wrote, it said that, I don't know if it was Galatians or something, but that he said, and you even have this statue to the unknown God. Where do you think this unknown God was? This is, there Paul's looking down this little street, sort of like inside the temple, and there's a row of statues, and he comes to this one and says, a statue to the unknown God. This is the temple that Paul went into that had the 1,000, over 1,000 temple prostitutes. You know what Paul did after touring that temple? That is when he sat down and wrote Romans. Then later he went to Romans. He sent a letter called the Book of Romans. Now, the description given here is describing people that turned from God, and so God let them do their thing. And what was their thing? Well, you know, fertility temples have something that you do in worshiping. You know, this the word abomination comes into play here, because every single use in Old Testament and New Testament is that this word, it doesn't mean something disgusting. It doesn't mean something hated. It means that, you know, God's a jealous God. Why do you think He hates things? Because worshiping other gods, you know, I'll have no other God, you'll have no other God before me, type of deal. And so, here these people are going to the fertility temple, getting their wallet out, handing the money over to the male temple prostitutes, and they go back in their little room there, and they have ritual sex to the god or goddess of that temple. How come you don't know this? This is one of the most well-known types of things in the day of Jesus and the day of Moses. Hebrew men went to fertility temples to have sex with the male temple prostitutes, which the Bible calls sodomites. This word sodomite is used in 7 places in the Bible. And the meaning is the same. It is only one meaning, and this is a sacred male devotee by prostitution to licentious idolatry. The detailed description of the word is talking about being a prostitute in the process of the ministry to other gods, fertility gods. Now we could start going to the geologists and the people that dig in the ground and get all this information. They come with a list. The names of these male temple prostitutes, how much money they paid them, how much the male temple prostitutes got so they can buy food and rent a place, and how much they give to the temple and everything so they can get richer and richer. You know, make all the priests rich, just like Christianity. Let's make the priests rich. Who cares about using the money for something else. Let's stop off at a nice resort, like this one. Where is it? See, that's where I'm at. And down here, there's a swimming pool, there's a slide, and then I got this wonderful view on the ocean there, if I can find it again. Somewhere out there, yeah, there it is. There's that rock I want. There's that rock I want right there. Now, of course, I'm taking a host visit here to this thing, and I don't know anything other than we drove for 6 hours and stopped here. And nobody else here, so got a good deal. But people, why can't you just read the Bible and then, if you're going to condemn somebody, learn something about it? Sodomites are very popular. There's a great deal of record. There's specific tasks they did in ministry. Hebrew people did go that. Leviticus, for example. The Hebrew word there for man isn't just man, so you could just put any kind of man you want in there. Hebrew is a kind of interesting language, just like Greek. There are some words that English has one word, so you have to add lots of more English to it, English words, so you can understand what kind of that word it's talking about. Womankind is one of them. In the case of Leviticus, womankind is an adulterous kind of woman. It wasn't a wife. It wasn't a comparison of a husband and wife. It was a already sexually immoral woman that was using as an example here. So it's like talking like a man went out and had sex with a prostitute or something, or rather a married woman. And we got more proof on this. It's because that word man is one of these Hebrew root words that English has one, unless you add a whole bunch of other things, and Hebrew has several. So it was describing, and in these days it had words for these things. You want to say heterosexual? They have a word for that in the ancient Hebrew language. But see, the word is not just saying heterosexual. It's a deeper meaning. It's like a practicing straight man. This means that this man actually has had sex with women and enjoyed it. And this is what his life's all about, is having sex. So you're having something, you're having a pure heterosexual man that has gone to bed with women lots of times. This is the description of this word man in Hebrew in Leviticus. And we got 630 million gay people in the world. Let's just try to find some of these gay people that are the 100% gay ones, not bisexuals and stuff like that, but the gay people. And let's just see if they really did enjoy relationships with the opposite sex. Well, that's just not it. Many have had relationships. They didn't enjoy it. You can read their testimonies and talk to them and everything. All the confusion of how they're learning about themselves and trying to fit in society and mistakes they made and getting married and having kids and all that. Later on, they have to get divorced or break up or bring the nose in. Devastates the family because, they're gay. And they finally couldn't fight against it any longer. I'm going to go into that right now. So you got something here that there is a specific word for a practicing straight man. Then you have incorporated in that sentence the word abomination, as I explained earlier. The word abomination means acts done to other gods. Well, what do you think sacred male prostitutes do? That's exactly what they do. And what do you think the Hebrew men did? Do you know that in Leviticus was a situation where God was bringing them from Egypt and was taking them to Canaan? And it took 40 years. And what do you think that the Hebrew men did during this time as a record, as a matter of fact? Hebrew men walk in this thing, sometimes they stay a long time one place, sometimes they don't stay almost overnight, hardly. I mean, they put all that stuff up together, all that camp, all that stuff, read about it, you hear all kinds of stuff they had to carry, pack up, really, really civic order and then start marching on. Sometimes they don't go very far and they unpack and they camp and then they have to get up and go on again. But most of the time they spent years in one place. And I think one of them spent a great deal of time in one place. But what did the Hebrew men do as they passed in all these fertility temples? Because the word's out, you know, you go have sex with a sacred male prostitute and in this worship to other gods, and you're going to get families for your blessing. You're going to prosper and do all kinds of stuff. They heard all that. You know, why not? Let's go try. And they did. This is a historical fact, people. So why are you in this thing and trying to say things that's so simple when the fact is that it's complex? There's lots of historical records out there. There's lots of facts. There's lots of behaviors you could match up to see if they work the way that you are trying to say that they work. Well, you see, gay is not sin. And so if you want gay to sin, be sin, you've got to actually find in the Bible where it's talking about boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and they get married. When you find this kind of a thing, then you can say, and if it says that it's sin, then you can say it's sin. However, you know what you can find? You can actually find a phrase that Jesus says that if you translate the phrase to mean what it would best mean to your ears, it would be modern style gaze. And this is what Jesus said, that you couldn't accept what he was teaching you about this phrase. And he says that most of you can't. Jesus also said that you should, though, except what he's saying about it, but you can't. And you want to know something? This is not a fly-by-night statement by me. There is people that is absolutely expert in so many of the Middle East languages and cultures and in ancient language and everything, and speak it five, six of those languages and dialects fluently and knows a lot more of them. Gone into studying tens of thousands of ancient documents in Jesus' day to find out the phrase that Jesus says means gay is not sin. That is simple as that. There's also a verse there that talks about two men in the same day. One will be taken and one will be left. Well, in case you don't know it, it's impossible. You cannot have two heterosexual men in Jesus' day in the same bed. Doesn't happen. If it's somehow because of some dramatic, traumatic situation, life and death, everybody's cut up and they end up being thrown in the sand. It just doesn't happen. It's too rare of a thing there, and it would be useless to have as a sentence. You can't make that sentence fit straight people in the same bed. So it has to be a gay couple in bed. And there's lots of stuff to back this up as well. And so it's saying that one of the gay couple was born again believer, got raptured. The other one didn't believe in Jesus, didn't get raptured. One was taken, the other left. A lot of you can't accept what the Bible says. There's at least two contractual Hebrew marriages in the Bible, and there's possibly a third. There's a whole chapter in one of the books that's devoted to specifically talking about gays in the church. Although it does talk about plenty of the other minorities. Well, I'm running out of time right now. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now, you should start reading the Bible. And I want to make it clear what Bible that I'm talking about when I'm asking you should read the Bible. I want you to read the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the only Bible that's the Word of God. All modern translations are from Westcott and Hort. You might as well call them Satan counterfeits, because Satan is a counterfeiter, and there's a history behind all modern versions. Got to go. See you next week.